You would take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 12. I don't know about you, but this subject, when I was a child, and not only even as a child, but when I was a grown man first involved in religion, this subject scared me to death. Matter of fact, I mean, Bill and I, we talked about it and we chuckled a little bit, but it's the truth. Even now, you find yourself, because of your human nature, wondering if you've done something or you might do something in the future that could cost you your salvation. We're just that way. I know people don't like to think that way, but that's just the reality of it. Yeah, I tell you, you know, like most, I've entitled this message, The Unpardonable Sins, what I've entitled it, but I'd use that title loosely, The Unpardonable Sin. And I think that anybody that listens to this on sermon audio, if it works and we get it uploaded, they'll be surprised when they, because I know what their mindset is when they go to study a subject like that. But you know, like most other subjects in the Scriptures, this subject of blasphemy, it's misunderstood. It's misapplied by almost every single solitary person in modern Christendom. Now it is. I remember from my years in false religion, the fear and the dread that went along with even the mention of the word blasphemy. It just kind of like it was like the third rail of a subway that you didn't want to touch for fear you might commit it. I heard them make statements about blasphemy, and they referred to it. I always talk about it, and that's what I've entitled this message. They always referred to it as this, the unpardonable sin. I tell you, you know, you don't find that phrase anywhere in the Scriptures. We'll see that when we get to the end. Now, while it is indeed true that whatever is meant by blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about this morning in the Scriptures, it's declared to be unforgivable, we need to be very careful. And I say this with, because you know me, I mean, when I think about subjects like this, it's kind of like when we deal with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't tamper with these things. I don't take this lightly. I do not approach this subject. This is serious. Even though I know those things to be so, we need to be careful in the way we define it, and we need to even be more careful in the way we apply it, this sin of blasphemy. The sin of blasphemy, you know, it's got a scriptural definition when we think about it. You look at the actual word that's used here, blasphemy. The sin of blasphemy, it has a definition, and the only way you can bring the right definition into light is in the context of the entirety of the way our Lord deals with these scribes and Pharisees that were before him. Now, who are the scribes and Pharisees? You know, they're religious men. Our Lord had said to Nicodemus that he was a ruler or a leader, a spiritual leader. That was their responsibility to lead Israel. Where were they supposed to lead Israel to? To the true and living God. But instead of the scribes and Pharisees, who were the rulers and spiritual leaders of Israel, leading men and women to the true and living God, what had they done? They had led them away from the true and living God. They had led them to their own doctrines and their own dogmas and their own ideas and their own interpretations that were contrary, even foreign, to the Scriptures. This word used here, translated blasphemy, it comes from a Greek word. Actually, it's pronounced blasphemia is what it's pronounced. And it means slander, detraction, speech injurious to another's good name. Now, you listen to me very carefully. I've had people throughout my lifetime, as I've preached the gospel now for some 28 years, I've had people, when they've heard me speak contemptuous, that's a hard word to say, speak contemptuously of other men and women in my day that preach another gospel and another Jesus. And I mean, I speak, can I tell you what, this is the truth. I follow David's words. I hate, Kenny, I hate every false way. I just don't think a little less, I hate it. And when I speak of those who preach another gospel and declare another Christ, I don't say it in a loving, compassionate way. I tell you what, I hate that way. I hate what they say of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I've had people tell me when they hear me make a statement like that, had people write emails and tell me, you better be careful when you talk about these people with their good intentions and their good ways and their good designs and their good desires to glorify and honor God, that you don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I've had others that have heard me say words harshly toward those who are in the charismatic movement that put such emphasis on tongue speaking or miracles or healings or outward signs. Folks, look, it's with the ungodly desire. Jews require a sign. When I say that they are speaking by another spirit, somebody said, if that guy south of town, now these folks over here do it. If there's somebody over there going oom-ba-la-la-la this morning, it's by another spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. And I've had people tell me, well, hold on now, you better be careful. Say, you don't know. Yes, I do know. I know based on God's testimony, I know. And see, this is the thing. That kind of, when they make a, when somebody may, if you make a statement to like that to me, it lets me know right up front that you are absolutely clueless concerning this truth of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You don't have a clue what it is. Most of us don't. We'll see that when we get to the end of this message. I would say almost everybody, even the guys with doctorate degrees, when they speak of blasphemy, it's kind of, you get out of them this, not real sure. Can't explain. It's an unexplainable thing. Well, really. I tell you what, I've told you in the past, what's the number one thing that always comes into play when you interpret anything in God's Word? What's the first thing? Context. Context determines the scope and efficacy of the accomplishment of Christ's death, the scope of the Scripture. So what's the context of this statement that our Lord makes concerning blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, two things. They make a charge. These scribes and Pharisees, they're following our Lord. They hate our Lord. They want our Lord gone because everything our Lord does, what does it do? It destroys and condemns everything that they hold near and dear to their heart. That's why folks get so upset with us and with this gospel message. And so what does he do? In verses 10 through 14 of this chapter, our Lord healed a man's withered hand and made it right. And you know what day he did it on? The Sabbath day. And then in verses 22 through verse 30 of this chapter, this same chapter, our Lord made made this declaration of our Lord concerning that we read just a moment ago in Mark chapter 3, that he casts out demons by Beelzebub. They charge him with casting out demons with Beelzebub after our Lord cast the demons out of a demon-filled man. You would think if this demoniac is free of demons, everybody would say, praise the Lord, but what do? This guy is doing this how? By the power of the devil. Now listen to me. Every word our Lord spoke, we've saw this. If you've been with us in our Sunday Bible class, as we finish up the book of John this morning, every word that Christ spoke, every miracle that our Lord performed, when our Lord walked on the water before his disciples, what were all those words and miracles that he performed? What were they for? Well, he just did it just to do miracles. Not on your life. Our Lord didn't do anything by accident. And our Lord didn't do anything because he was seeking to prove a personal point. Every miracle, every word, every action, every step our Lord took throughout his whole life, where did they point? Did they point to the church? No. Did they point to a profession? Not on your life. Did they point to reformation in the sinners? Never. Where did they point to? They pointed to him. Pointed to him how? Pointed to him as the God-sent Messiah, the one sent here to save his people. Everything he did confirmed this is Messiah. Everything. They've been looking for it. Folks, they're still looking for him. They missed him completely. You think about this. Isaiah put it this way. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Called who? Christ in righteousness. And will hold thine hand and will keep thee and will give thee for a covenant of the people. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. For a light of the Gentiles. Here we go. To open blind eyes. Now we know it's speaking primarily about opening blind eyes spiritually, but they're told by Isaiah, one of their prophets whom they held in high esteem, this person who is Messiah, the one called in righteousness, the one whom the Lord says, I'll hold you by your own hand. I'll hold you with my own hand. Here's Messiah. What will he do? He'll give sight to the blind. Did he do that? Oh, yeah. Go back and read the Old Testament. It tells us Christ would be a miracle worker. You know, Nicodemus said this to our Lord, no man can do the miracles that you do except what? He be of God. See, these miracles were to direct their hearts and their minds away from themselves and direct their hearts and their minds and their understanding to the true God-sent Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of bringing them to Christ, what did these miracles do? They infuriated them. But not only did it infuriate them, it brought out their hatred and made them to take sides with who? With their father, the devil. The same hatred that Satan had toward the Lord Jesus Christ, these guys had. Now that's the context. And knowing that's the context, I wanted to learn myself. It's been a learning process is what it's been. I wanted to know what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. Because I wanted to know. Not that I think that any of God's children could ever commit it, could listen to me. That's impossible. Let me say that up front. If you are chosen by God in everlasting covenant of grace, if you were redeemed by Christ at Calvary, if in time you are regenerated and converted by God the Holy Spirit, this which our Lord spoke of here, you can never commit. You will not. You say, I'm going to... Get that settled. You can't. It's impossible. And here's the first thing that you and me as children of God, we need to be taught to rejoice in. Listen to me. All sin. You hear me? All, this is one time all means all. All sin and all blasphemy, what are they? They're forgiven. Listen to Christ's word. Look at verse 32. Of our text. Or verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, this is Christ speaking, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. That's good news. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. I told Sally this week, this is so important. The words are so important. And it amazes me how these guys, when they translated the scriptures, they just change things up at will sometimes. You see the words there, all manner. It's one Greek word. They translated here, all manner. That same Greek word is used 740 more times in the New Testament. Same Greek word. 740 times. It's used 741. 740 times. You know what it's translated? All. Yet here, what do they translate it? All manner. So here's the thing. He says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. And you see it says, unto man. That word literally translated is this, not unto man, it won't be forgiven unto man. He literally states, all sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven man. That's the best translation of it. Now here's the thing. What's sin? All sin. What's sin? In the Greek, it's a Greek word, hamartia. What does hamartia mean? Y'all know that by now. What does it mean? To miss the mark. Blasphemy means slander, detraction, speech injurious to someone's good name. Now listen to me. All men without exception, all of us, including God's redeemed, don't we all miss the mark? Didn't Paul tell us, for all have sinned, same Greek word, hamartia, all have hamartia. What have we done? We've all missed the mark. What's the mark? Perfect righteousness. A righteousness that enables God to be just when he justifies the ungodly. We've all missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. But we can go further than that. All men and women without exception, even God's elect, you know what? We've blasphemed God. We've blasphemed men. And folks, we've even blasphemed our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. All of us. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul included himself in this sin of blasphemy. Listen to what he says. Who was before... He didn't say who before blasphemed. What did he say was? Who was before a blasphemer. What does that mean, a blasphemer? He practiced blasphemy. Tell you what, everything Paul did before command, same with you. Same. Look, when we went to church from our childhood, we first started in our first Sunday school until the time revealed God revealed His Son to us and in us by His Holy Spirit through the preached word. Everything that we did blasphemed the true Christ. Every prayer that you prayed, every time you picked up this book, you think about that. You did things injurious to the true person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that's just not so. I'm telling you what, you did. I did. Look, we're all in this together. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are blasphemers before God. But praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ says what? All sin and blasphemy. Forgiven. Doesn't say forgiveness is offered. They're forgiven. That word forgiveness, you know what? Forgiven, translated forgiven, forgiveness, forgiver. It means to put away. All sins are put away. I like this one. The best translation of this, to let a debt go. See, we owed a debt to God's law and justice. What did God do? He let it go. How did he let it go? Just, I'm going to pretend like it's not there. Oh, no. What did he do? He charged it to Christ the Son. Punished it perfectly and completely in him. John used the same word. They call it, the Baptists call it the Christian bar of soap. 1 John 1:9. What does it say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to put away our debt, to remit all our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Now let me be as clear as I perfectly can right here. Any and all sin without exception that are forgiven, that are put away, that the debt's let go of, that the guilt and penalty is remitted, can only be forgiven, can only be put away, can only be remitted through one thing. Through the accomplished death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Ephesian believers, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He told those at Colossae the same thing. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, what? The forgiveness of sin. In both these texts, in Ephesians and in Colossians, he uses this word redemption, and he says that our redemption was purchased at the cost of what? The precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word translated redemption in both places, it comes from a Greek word that means liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. Like the way I think Job is the one that said, let him go down, let him go free. I found what? I found a ransom. What was the payment price required? Christ. So in our text, all means all sin. And you gotta keep that in mind for what we're fixing to talk about. knowing that's true, that all sin and all blasphemy can, are, and have been forgiven through Christ's righteous life and his sinless death, it brought a question to my mind. I get some questions pop in here once in a while that demands an answer. And here's the question. Why can't blasphemy of the Holy Spirit be forgiven? You ever thought about that? Why? Three of the four Gospels talk about this. Our text talks about it here in Matthew chapter 12, where I told you to read, and we read in worship service. Mark chapter 3 talks about it. And Luke chapter 12 talks about it. And I would encourage you, you go read this for yourself this week, and then you hear out what I'm about to tell you now. And here's the thing. If you'll go read these three texts, read all three of them, you'll find out, you know what? The word unpardonable and the word unforgivable is not used in either of these three texts, any of the three. Not one time. Matthew uses the term shall not be forgiven. Mark writes, hath never forgiveness. Luke writes, it shall not be forgiven. Now this is so important. The words unpardonable and unforgivable, they're only applied to these verses by who? By men. Not God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm of the opinion there's really, when you think about it, there's no such thing as a specific sin that's unpardonable or unforgivable. I believe that this idea of an unpardonable or unforgivable sin, it's the invention of false religion attempting to keep men and women in line in their churches in their anti-gospel, anti-grace philosophy that they've come up with. You know, the Bible tells us, we've already seen it, but you think he says that Christ came to do what for his people? To save us from our sins. How many of them? It tells us, as we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Paul told the Hebrew believers that our Lord, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he purged our sin. How? With his own blood. It said of those that are in the church, Revelation chapter 1 says this, he washed us from our sins. How? In his own blood. And those in the church are described as those, they wash their robes and they made their robes white. Where? In the blood of the Lamb. But if you go read all those verses that I just quoted to you, you go read every one of them, you know, none of those verses speak of salvation from all sins except one specific unforgivable sin. Not one of them. So what exactly is this unpardonable sin that religion talks about? Go ask your family. Go ask your mom or your daddy if they're still alive. Grandma or grandpa, go ask some old deacon or preacher. What is the unforgiving? Well, some people say, well, the unpardonable sin is unbelief. Well, here's the facts. What are you and I by nature? Folks, by nature, we're in unbelief, and by nature, what are we? We're all unbelievers. And see, this is the thing. Before God, the Holy Spirit, gave us faith to believe, every one of us here, we're unbelievers. Well, now here's the kicker. Even as justified saints, even as those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul encouraged us to, listen to this, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Which one is that? It's unbelief. But in Christ, folks, think about this. We who believe are forgiven of that sin of unbelief, how? By his blood. Well, some people say, well, it's not just an isolated act of unbelief. It's spending your whole life in unbelief and actually dying in a state of unbelief. Well, think about this. It's true that everybody who dies in unbelief, their sins aren't forgiven. We know that. But listen to me. It's not because unbelief's unforgivable. It's because all who die in unbelief, they have no way of forgiveness. Because the only way of forgiveness is by who? By the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which they've rejected. Remember our Lord said to those men that stood before him in John chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. He said, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and what will you not do? You will not come to me." Because the only way there's life is where? It's in the Son. You will not come to me that you might have life. A verse that everybody quotes all the time when they want to jump on people about not attending church and basically try to beat people to death with it is they go over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says this, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth," what? "No more sacrifice for sin." What remains? If you reject the only knowledge of the truth, you reject the only hope of salvation, what have you got waiting for you? A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that will devour the adversary. That's all you got. Remember, that's the whole theme of the book of Hebrews. These people were being encouraged by their friends and families to go back to their former religion, come back to Judaism, come back to all the Old Testament sacrifices. Our Lord had said, all that's done, because when he died, what happened? The veil tore in two. Why? It pointed to their salvation in Messiah, the one who's came. So if these people had left that false profession and had made a false profession in Christ and were willing to desert the only true Christ who had came to suffer and bleed and die and put away sin and want to go back over there, what are they going to find? There was no forgiveness there. You cannot find it. It's impossible. Other people say, well, the unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's vague. And most of them don't know. Not sure. Right? It's something. Everybody in religion, they try to make things mystical and mysterious. Bill and I were talking about it this week. He told me that he remembered one time when he was in false religion that he and a bunch of boys were out swimming together at a person's swimming pool. And some of the deacons were there overseeing the young men from the church as they were swimming there. And Bill and them got to where they were out there baptizing each other. Yeah, they were, you know, me and my brother used to do it in our swimming pool. They'd baptize, you know, they'd take turns baptizing. And one of the old deacons saw them and came out there and told them, "Boys, y'all better stop that. Y'all mess around, y'all blaspheme the Holy Spirit." And Bill said, "I didn't get a night's sleep that night." He said, "I went home and thought I'd blasphemed the Holy Spirit and thought I was a goner." I remember there was an old man in the old church that I was in down in Manny. We were inside playing in the auditorium, running around like a bunch of wild chickens with our head cut off. And, so, and that old man, Mr. Owens, came in there and he told us in that church, "You young boys better stop. Y'all going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit." Now, where did he get that from? How did he come up with such an idea? What specifically is it to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? You ever thought about that? Can we know? Well, I tell you, in order to know, we got to understand what the specific work of the Holy Spirit is, called the Holy Ghost. What's his work? Well, look at John chapter 16. Here's his work. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." This is verse 7, John chapter 16. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to me. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he shall come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment of sin," because they do what? They don't believe on me. "Of righteousness," why? "Because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." What's his job? "He will glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he will take of mine and will show it unto you." You say, why such a lengthy passage of Scripture? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Here's the Holy Spirit's work and his office. What does he do? In the work of salvation, the Holy Spirit's office, his specific work, is to convince the sinner of their sinfulness and point them to who? Point them to the Lord Jesus Christ is their only Savior, the only hope and cause of salvation. Now listen to me. I want to be very clear on this. When Christ said, "Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven me," he's speaking of those who, out of ignorance, you know what they do? They reject God's Messiah. Now, didn't we all do that before the Lord brought us to a true saving knowledge, a true interest in the God-sent Messiah? All of us rejected Christ. Now, we did. But when Christ talks about here that whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. Who does he reveal? He reveals the Son as the only Messiah, the only Redeemer. So therefore, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in essence is it, rejecting the only one true way of forgiveness. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And his shed blood and his righteousness imputed. Those who reject Christ, folks, they can't be forgiven. Now, they can. Not because their sin's unforgivable or unpardonable. But here's the thing. Because they've rejected the only way of forgiveness and pardon. They've rejected God's Messiah. See, think about it like this. All manner of sin is forgiven if we're in Christ, washed in his blood. With his spotless garment on, what a way. Spotless as the Holy One. But now listen to me. No sin's forgiven. No sin's pardoned if we don't believe in and cling to and rest in and rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord our righteousness. You say, oh, hold on now. Brother Richard has made believing a condition of salvation, not on your life. I'm not teaching belief as a condition of salvation. What is belief? Belief is an evidence of grace given. It's the work of the Spirit in the heart, mind, and soul of the sinner in regeneration and conversion. Listen to this. As many as were ordained to eternal life. Whose work is that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As many as were ordained to eternal life, what's the result of it? They believed. Believed what? All of forgiveness. All of salvation. Where? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say this in closing this morning. The question isn't, because we think about this. The question isn't as how I somehow in the past, I think about this. I told Bill the other day, this is so important. At times, you know, I've been preaching for 28 years, but I find myself at times, you just wake up at night and you think, what if I'm wrong? You ever done that, Kenny? What if I've erred? Huh? And then the thought flashes through my mind, my stars, if I've erred, think of what I've done to you. Bill said, yeah, he said, that phrase that you use all the time, bust the bottom out of it. I told him, I said, no, that's not just bust the bottom out, that's bust the bottom out and going down to the beyond the bottom's what that is. To stand up and preach this message for 28 years and be in error? Could you tell me, I would be a lie on God, all. Lied to you, lied to your souls, put you in peril. Not only myself. So the question isn't whether or not I've committed a blasphemy or in the future I'll commit some unforgivable sin for which I'll be damned for eternity. The question is this. Do I need the Lord Jesus Christ today as much as I need him when I first believed? Do I rest in Christ right now as much as I did when he first revealed himself to me? Do I trust him and him alone? Not my faith, not my morality, not my sincerity. Do I trust all that he did for the complete forgiveness of my sin? See, the fact is that no sin. You hear me? No sin. Not just one specific sin. No sin is forgivable if we as sinners do not have a mediator. There ain't no sin being put away without a mediator. And there's how many mediators? There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See, without him and his blood, there's a complete payment for all my sin. No sin's forgivable. Not one. But praise God, with him, in him, by him, all sin's not only forgivable, not only forgivable, it's forgiven. Listen to this, and we'll close with this verse. One of my favorites. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember your sin. Isaiah 43:25. I tell you what, I am so grateful that as a child of God, one redeemed by the Son, I cannot commit the sin of blasphemy. I cannot blaspheme His Holy Spirit. I cannot. It's impossible. We take great comfort. Our sins are forgiven, and all our blasphemies are put away through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and we dismiss. Appreciate your presence. Lord bless you till we see you next Lord's Day.